Welcome to another episode of the Extra Features Movie Review Podcast, episode 300 with special guests. I'm Kevin.
I'm Simon, and how the hell did we make it 300 episodes?
I'm Daniel, and I think I've been here for like 100.
I'm Doug, and I've been here less than Daniel.
Special guest, do you want to introduce yourself?
I guess. I'm the special guest, Chad Meisenheimer.
Professional stand-up comedian.
Comedian,
and pain
actor,
in my ass.
Writer, director, producer, podcaster.
And dishwasher.
And pizza maker.
Nice.
Like, do you have an oven?
Oh, no, I work at, like, my part-time job, I work at a pizza place.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Oh, no, the pizza's good, I've been told.
Oh, it's legit.
I have no idea. Like, it's like my poster, it never arrives. I'm told it's coming. I open the door, nothing.
That's partially on you, Simon. You can go out and get your own pizza.
Yeah, I guess the 6-hour flight, and then okay. I don't know how far it is from LAX to the pizza place. And me not even knowing the address might be a bit of a problem. I could get close.
You can sniff it out.
I have a rough idea where Chad would be. I know the area. I mean, I'm sure if I really wanted to, I'd Skype his mom and she would tell me how to get there. But I might have some issues.
A cartoon spelling, just the cheese pizza. Blurring you, Chad.
Well, Kevin lives the closest to me, and I still don't go to his house. So I'll tell him off when I leave the house.
Yeah.
Fair.
Even though Kevin's got some big news.
What's that?
You've left the house. You're now working at a new location.
No, I haven't.
I thought you went to the offices this week.
I went to the office once.
Oh, I thought it was a daily thing going to the office.
I was basically, I bought a scooter like 2 months ago. So I finally put it out and rode it over to the office. So that was the maiden run.
Oh, there you go.
How was the voyage, Kevin?
It was good. It was a little rough because I'm not really confident in high traffic areas yet. And and the nature of the scooter, you got to turn your head to see what's going on behind you. And then you might, like, your scooter might go in another direction. So I'm still not quite comfortable with that yet. So maybe I got to get some big mirrors to put on the side or something.
So it's like a scooter or like a foot scooter?
Like a stand-up scooter, electric.
Okay, all right.
Yeah.
I'm out already. Looking behind.
I wasn't sure, like, it was talking like a Lime scooter or, I don't know, Canadian.
Yeah,
kind of like
Lime scooters.
Okay, all right.
Yeah, which is, I think those are like Ninebots that they wrap up and stuff. So I've driven Limes before. They're pretty good. That got me interested in getting one.
Oh, okay.
So.
Well, Kevin does a lot of conventions and things, so it does help him, I guess. Do you bring the scooter yet to conventions?
No, I haven't. And it's electric, so I'd have to put it on the skid and say goodbye to it for 2 weeks until it gets to the show.
Ooh.
So I do have a kick one. So
that's the one I'm at. You talked about that.
Yeah, I might throw the kick one. I could bring it on planes, but it's extra baggage, so, so right now. I'm still not. My knees aren't that great still yet, so I'm having used the electric one for a day. It's like they're pretty sore by the end of the day. So
okay, we're bringing back on a regular basis people we swiftly remember too, because it's usually me forgetting. Doug, with the news. Yes.
Well, unfortunately, it's not good news. I will say. Recently,
hold on. House of Wax 2 starring Paris Hilton and Nikki Hilton is not coming out this year.
Amen. Your Oscar winners, Oscar-worthy performances.
Is not coming out this year? Is that the bad news?
No. If it was coming out, that would be bad news. But
Not for me.
Not for me either. It's on my list.
Nice. But unfortunately, Hollywood legend Jimmy Kahn has passed away.
Okay, does anybody want to hear my Jimmy Kahn story?
Sure.
Go for it.
Okay.
Do it.
We're at the back of, I think it's the TIFF building. It's been a while, so I'm trying to remember. And I'm in the front row. And I have 6 to 8 photos on me for him to sign. So I hand him 2, he signs them. He goes, "That's it for you." I'm like, oh crap, my buddy's behind me. I start passing stuff behind me. He goes, what's this? I go, oh, it's from the guys in the box, sir. I have no idea who's bringing them up. Oh, okay. Signs them. Oh, I got some more coming up. Hold on. Here you go. My friends in the back are passing them up to me to get my stuff signed by him because I'm in the front row. And I keep passing them back, signed, right? Mm. When he leaves, I get like 8 signed photos to take home.
Wow.
Nice.
So that's my Jimmy God. He was very nice. He signed for anybody that asked. So okay. That was my one meeting with James God. The funny thing is, I forgot he was a Godfather. Oh, I talked to him about Rollerball.
Rollerball's good. The one I always forget about him in is Misery. I'm used to him being the tough guy, like Thief, Godfather, but being the victim in Misery, I think that's one of his best performances, honestly.
Oh, amazing performance in Misery. Chad Meisenheimer should have directed that film, and it would have been a perfect 10 instead of the 10 I gave it.
Perfect.
A little happy face 10, I think. Anybody else got anything? Should we go on to our first review? Kevin, anything exciting about Chicago, Denver, Detroit?
No, I'm still recovering.
Wherever the hell you were.
Yeah, I think since the last time I saw you guys, I've been to Dallas, Denver, and Chicago for Fan Expos. So I'm a little bit tired. So
hang on. You're listening to big news. Kevin left the hotel and went to a party.
Oh, what? The one night I went to an after party.
One night! I've never in my life known Kevin to go to an after party.
I don't know what to say.
I was surprised, Kevin.
It was
talk with Chad and you guys can adapt it into a movie.
I was in Chicago, so it wasn't good beer. So it was like Amstel Light and Heineken. So it was painful. But yeah, I got dragged out. All the young people on my team think I should get out more.
I think you should too.
So I got to go out and hear about their sordid tales of escapades, and I don't think I'll be going out again.
I could just see Kevin hanging out some pizza place, just having some pizza, drinking like Schultz or Amstel Light, and okay, good night, guys. Up 7:30, it's time to go home. And these guys just both go to bed.
Usually 9 or 10. I mean, it's a long weekend. So I got a lot of work to do, right?
So I know you do. I'm not saying you don't have to work.
The butt crack of dawn. So
I love Kevin's photos of the con. He just get there and there's nobody. It's like tranquility for Kevin.
It's the best time. Totally the best time.
He can enjoy himself, walk around. Yep, everything's set up. And Kevin, I'm sure if I saw the photo, actually looks happy for once.
Right. So the fires haven't started burning.
Most wonderful time of the year.
Pretty much.
Yeah. I said the most wonderful time of the year.
There you go, yeah.
Well, like, isn't the most wonderful time of the year summer movie season, guys?
It is.
Not this year.
You know, when little Chad gets out of school, gets his $3 for allowance, probably $5, and gets to go to the movies for the weekend.
You said little Chad?
Yeah, I'm going back to like the, you know, what, 2000s when you were little Chad?
Man, I was born in 84.
So 16 would have been 2000s.
I'm crack of the 2000s.
Yeah.
Yeah. So that's when you're going to movies.
I was going to movies before then.
Yeah, but you're seeing like Bambi and.
No, man. I would go see R-rated movies and stuff. They were like not strict back then. Like I used to see like really messed up. Like, dude, I was like, even when, what was it, American Psycho came out, like I even saw that in the movie theaters.
That is 2000.
I was 15, and like, and that was like considered like a bad, like no, you can't see it. And they didn't even ID. They're like, okay, hey child, here you go.
We know your mom. You're fine.
Yeah, pretty much.
What was your first R-rated movie?
Our first R-rated movie. Holy smokes!
I think I know mine, but I have to check with Doug.
I want to say by accident. The Shining when I was like 4 or 5.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Okay, first R-rated movie I remember distinctly, Porky's had to be R-rated.
You went to Porky's
was. No, my dad brought home Porky's. Man, that was like, we must have watched that 15 times, me and my brother. just watch Porky's over and over, like, look at that! I've never seen him put that on again! We watched Porky so many times, we started doing the lines. I think I was 13 when Porky's came out.
I think my first one on, like, on DVD would have been Kill Bill. So that, the sword in the bed kind of scarred me. I don't remember my first one I saw in theaters, but I remember I tried to go see movie 43, forgot my ID, and they saved me from seeing that shit in theaters.
That was an R-rated movie?
Yeah.
Huh.
I think I saw the Last Stand with Arnie instead.
Movie 43 would have been better.
Oh, so I like The Last Stand. That was pretty fun.
I'm thinking probably at home I would have been The Thing. John Carpenter's The Thing. But in the movie theaters, it would have been We Were 13 and We Snuck Into Spring Break.
So I've seen that.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
No, you're good.
No, I was going to say, I don't remember exactly what my first R-rated movie was, but I think it was probably Enter the Dragon. Like, my dad borrowed a VHS from a VHS player from a VHS store and brought home Enter the Dragon, and we all sat down and watched Bruce Lee kick some ass. So I think that was my first R-rated movie.
Ooh.
Now, before we get to review, I promise people we're getting there. Has anybody heard of this movie, Hollywood Hot Tub? There's two of them, one, Volume 1 and Volume 2. I found it today in this VHS group I'm in. I'm not in it to sell anything. I'm just in it to find movies I haven't seen. So expect Hollywood Hot Tub.
Hot Tub Time Machine?
No. Hollywood Hot Tub.
If there's a time machine.
No time machine. I looked it up, and they're getting terrible ratings. That means total teenage. No, it's not a porn.
I see one called Hollywood Hot Tubs, 1984.
Is it a porn?
Pornographic comedy.
Can you sell that to me?
Oh, it's a comedy. I don't know. I don't know. I just read the titles. I'll tell you what it is next time I talk to you guys. Okay, summer season. I say movies are coming out. A big one just came out, and we're here to discuss it. Daniel?
Thor, Love and Thunder, with Chris Hemsworth, Natalie Portman, Christian Bale, Tessa Thompson, Taika Waititi, who also directs and co-writes the film, Russell Crowe, Jamie Alexander, Chris Pratt, and the Guardians of the Galaxy. And then, let's just stop there, because there's more people, but we can stop there.
Russell Crowe?
Yes.
Brett Goldstein?
Brett Goldstein.
Oh, yeah, We Were Ruined Films, people. If it's your first time watching it, episode 300, we review everything, spoil everything, talk about everything. Too bad. You've already read it. Bye-bye. So, do you want me to go first? I will go first. It's episode 300. I've had enough. I am officially done with Taika Waititi. I'm done. I can't take any more of this comedy. Too much comedy. This is a Thor movie. What I want is tons of action. Little bit of comedy, lots of hammer throwing. I don't care if it hits guys in the groin 40 times. I'm fine with that. I don't need some rockhead talking about his body. I couldn't care less. Absolutely uninteresting. Guys called the God Butcher. Slaughter some people. Full on slaughter. Big sword, blood, dripping. No, it's a Marvel movie. I don't care. I thought I enjoyed the Jane Foster stuff. I really thought that was the best part of the film at times. But again, I was getting bored. I'm like, hey, this film's got a lot of time to tell me a story I don't feel I'm getting. I feel I'm just getting the comedy hour. Oh, let's do this skit. Oh, let's bring the Space Ghost back. People find that funny. I don't know who, because I didn't. Like, was it supposed to be funny when she goes, oh, I have a ship, and she's pulling out the seats out of the tour bus? Like, what the hell is this garbage? I can't take Taika Waititi anymore. I think he's gone over the rails finally for me. He needs to bring it back down, because this Star Wars is just going to be Han Solo cracking jokes with Chewbacca and some spaceship. I'm out. Maybe they're working some Nimnum, some Hammerhead. I can't do it anymore. I mean, Kat Dennings only got one scene, and she wasn't even funny. So, am I missing something here? This was a boring movie, disappointing, and a complete waste of most people's time, I think.
I agree for the most part.
Touchdown!
I think I I don't know if I would say dislike, but there's three Marvel movies that I'm just not really a fan of. Thor 1, Thor the Dark World, and then this one. I thought Ragnarok was great, but just, apparently they have had 4 hours of, like, the first assembly cut was 4 hours, and, like, most of it was jokes. So I totally see what you're saying for the jokes. I can't remember any of them. I think the hardest I laughed was the floating head CGI, which seemed like it would have been better in a straight-to-DVD Casper movie.
Hold on, I had one more thing to add. If he fucking ever does another movie with Guns N' Roses hot picks, I'm going to kill him. Pick some tracks that people don't know. Please. Deep cuts here, buddy.
Why?
Yeah.
Because I don't need to hear these ever again in my life. I grew up with Guns N' Roses. I've listened to these albums thousands of times. I recently stopped listening to them. I don't want to hear them anymore.
Yeah, but these movies are made mostly for people younger than you. They might not have heard this music before.
Really? They don't want to. Okay, I have children. You have children.
Yes.
They don't want to listen to our music. They mock our music.
No, I mean, not in my experience.
My kids were like, "Dad, that's old man music. We're not listening to that." But then she puts on a bunch of 70s Earth, Wind, and Fire, so I've given up arguing.
Being slapped some Justin Bieber in there.
Ooh, yeah. It's like one of the action, one of the action scenes in this film to set the baby, baby, baby.
Or Billy Eilish is like, "I'm a bad guy," over and over and over every single show. Or nowadays, play over and over and over. I'm just like, Jesus.
That could be Gore the God Butcher's theme song. Like a montage of him killing gods to "I'm a bad guy." Though, speaking of Gore, I thought he was a pretty good part. Like that scene where the kids were in the cage and he just comes out of the darkness, I thought that was pretty creepy. And some of the just good horror sensibilities, I think, even though he pretty much is just Voldemort and the nun, just in kind of in visuals.
So hold on. You're telling the Gore God Butcher met the nun, had sex with Voldemort.
Oh, yeah.
And popped out Gore the God Butcher.
I think so. I mean, fair like, enough. Yeah, the visual, like, the makeup looks like, and especially in the darkness, I was like, oh, okay, we're going Conjuring with the MCU right now. So I don't know what he looks like in the comics, Kevin.
He actually looks a lot like Voldemort with ears, yeah, the frog ears.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, he doesn't have a nose.
Oh, okay. So they had to switch it up for the film.
Well, they switched it up.
Okay.
They didn't have to switch it up.
But yeah, I just generally find this one that funny. I found it kind of like, oh, like this is kind of bad for me. I had some fun with the Natalie Portman, like Mighty Thor. I thought like those scenes were interesting. But I think like the whole looking for love, just could have been done better. Just like I find there could have been more trauma, like they weren't just focusing on the jokes all the time.
Come on, there was trauma. You can't say pancakes. He calls them something else.
Oh,
that was trauma.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, but I mean, Chonky Russell Crowe as Zeus was kind of the post-credit scenes was really cool. But where's my train of thought? Though I thought at the end with Thor getting in like a surrogate kid, I thought that was kind of weird. I'm not sure if that's from the comics, but I thought that was a really strange choice. If he's passing the hammer to a weird surrogate kid of God, Gore the God Butcher. Strange film.
Well, I went to see it in Chicago, and I was really tired. So I actually was amused by the film quite a bit that night. But in retrospect, there are a lot of really poor choices in this movie. There are a lot of opportunities wasted. Like, we don't get to see Natalie Portman turn into the Mighty Thor for the first time. We don't, you know, they go to a planet full of gods. Perfect opportunity for the God Butcher to slaughter a bunch of gods. Nope. not going to do that. That would be too much CGI, I guess. So we didn't actually see him slaughter any gods in it. We see him kill one god in self-defense, and then we just see bodies lying on the ground and other stuff. So it was somewhat, lackluster, I thought. It was, dealing with things like cancer and loss, loss of children, loss of faith. These were all kind of blown over for comedy and jokes. And some of the jokes I liked. I liked the bit where Thor was always trying to get Mjolnir to come back to him, like his girlfriend or his pet. And then the other one, Stormbreaker, is like lurking around in the background, jealous, and trying to get in. He's like, "Oh, hey, Stormbreaker," But overall, I thought it wasted two really good comic storylines: the whole Gore the God Butcher storyline, as well as the Mighty Thor storyline, which are both long-running storylines that were really good with fairly nuanced. The whole Jane Fonda cancer thing. It wasn't being Thor that caused her cancer to kill her, as in this movie. It was that when she changed back and forth between forms, the chemo, her body didn't understand. Like, I guess something about the chemical reaction between transforming into a god state and back, her human body didn't quite handle chemo as a result. So she was always going back to having cancer being a normal part of the body. So the drugs that she was taking were not working. So eventually she dies and becomes a Valkyrie. But, lots of stuff in this film that could have been, I think, just better. Guardian was fun, but.
Sorry, is that the whole Valhalla ending then for the Valkyrie?
No, that's new. That's just an opportunity. So the whole problem with the Asgardian gods in the comics is they go through these Valhalla cycles, or these Ragnarok cycles. But they come back. So nobody ever actually stays dead for very long. So here's an opportunity for the other Asgardians to come back now through Valhalla. So we can see Odin is maybe there, and the Warriors 3 and those characters. There's an opportunity for them to come back now in a fourth or fifth movie, I guess, in this sequence.
I am so surprised that wasn't going to be like a joke set up for Jamie Alexander's arm just waving at them. Because her arm was tied in battle.
Yeah.
I was very shocked that they didn't go for that.
Right. Well, it was nice to see her at least, that they kind of glossed over the fact that she wasn't in the last one. So. But overall, it's a fluff movie. If you want a movie with some jokes and some humor, and I do think Chris Hemsworth is very funny, and there is some great humor in there, and I do think that Christian Bale is great as the God Butcher. I just think, there were some things that bothered me. Like, so Thanos had to spend all his time searching for the Infinity Gems. He could have just gone to the Eternity Well and made his wish instead of having to go do all this other stuff. So it turns out there's always a new MacGuffin that makes it easier for doing crazy universal things. So overall, I would say like a 4 out of 10. In my opinion, which is
wow, you killed this more than me. Yeah. I gave it a 5, and I thought I was being generous.
Yeah, it's a disappointment.
Damn. I will say, unlike Daniel, there are actually many Marvel movies I'm not a fan of. And I will say, Phase 4 has been really lackluster to me. I have no idea where they're going. Within the first phase of Marvel, we knew about the Infinity Gems. We knew Thanos was coming by the Avengers film. I have no idea what they're building towards here. Maybe it has something to do with a multiverse. Maybe they're going to do Secret Wars. Who knows? They haven't told us. I'm gonna say something very controversial here. Black Widow is my favorite movie of Phase 4 so far.
Yeah.
And
I have no issues with your statement.
Yeah, that's absolutely not. That was actually a really well-made movie, and I don't like Marvel movies at all.
Now, I have a question. Since we have a resident Marvel expert here, Kevin.
Okay.
What character would you have brought to change all this? Is there something you feel that got the character got left out of Phase 4 that they could have used? I mean, obviously Fantastic Four, I would say that, but right. they just got that back.
Fantastic right. Thor.
Same with the X-Men.
Same kind of thing. But I was thinking, like, who could they, like, I would like to see, like, Namor, but is Namor stuck in the Marvel FF universe?
No, Namor is the villain in Wakanda Forever.
Oh, okay. That's yeah. great. Good. I'm looking yeah. forward to that, then.
And characters like Wonder Man, he's getting his own TV show on Disney Plus. And, you know, we see Hercules at the end of Thor. So he'll have some part in the upcoming Marvel Universe. So those other characters are gradually making their way up, but they seem to be focusing on the young Avengers more than any
Which
other
is fun. Well, I gotta give Marvel credit. Phase 4 of the TV, I love Ms. Marvel. I've seen half of it. Mm-hmm. I will get to the other half. I had a back issue for about right. 10 days. It stopped me from really sitting too long. Sure. Feel great today, so things are looking good. Got some editing done. But I think Ms. Marvel, Kamala Khan, impressed me. So much as a show, I enjoyed it. Just kind of look forward to watching it again. Because, I mean, I like it better than Hawkeye. It's probably my favorite show.
Let me know how you feel after you finish it.
Okay, I have not finished it. So maybe I hate the ending. I will let, next time we're on here, I will finish.
Yeah,
the problem
is... Amon is great as Ms. Marvel, and her family is fantastic. And she has
yes.
great. But the rest of it is like every other Marvel project. Terrible villains.
Oh.
Loosely connected plots.
Okay.
No real resolution.
I'm watching Outer Banks. No, my kids don't listen to this, so I'm okay. My younger daughter has begged me to watch Outer Banks. So I started Friday night. I'm now on episode 10 of season 1. What's going on here? I'm like, can I send Meisenheimer to the writing room? Because this needs some little more beefing up. I find some little light. It's literally like he gets into trouble, the main guy. And boom, he escapes somehow at the end of the episode. Somebody's always taking a rap for him or doing something. I'm kind of like, really? Like, and everybody in the film's doing bad things, but nobody gets busted for it. I'm kind of like, this needs some depth here, guys. There has to be some consequence for doing something.
Is that the John B. TikTok?
Yes.
Oh.
My younger daughter loves it. It's her favorite show. You never watch my shows. Fine. I've knocked off 9 episodes in 3 days. I will finish the last one tomorrow.
Is John B your favorite?
No. Pope's my favorite.
Okay.
Chad's dying. You haven't seen this, Chad. This is totally your kind of show.
I've been really picky lately anyways. I just finished watching Resident Evil on Netflix.
Which I wanted to watch this weekend, but when my 12-year-old is going to be 13-year-old, I was like, Dad, what am I going to say, no? I got to watch Resident Evil. Of course I'm in. Wesker's Children, 100%. How was Resident?
It was pretty good. It's like a high school drama. Like your kids actually might like it.
I don't care.
I like it. Your kids might like it.
It's Resident Evil.
A lot of people, it's not horror. That's the thing. It's not what? Horror. Yeah. It's you have to watch it. It's not horror. It's
oh, great.
Horror.
I get to go from Outer Banks, Teen Angst, to Resident Evil.
Teen Angst sci-fi action. Yeah, pretty much. Like, the last two episodes, you're kind of like, oh, what the F is happening? Because, like, okay, let's throw every Asylum film trope in there. And that's pretty much what it is. Like, I still liked it. Don't get me wrong. But I'm like, but I also like Asylum films.
So I
have friends who work for that company. And it's like, wink, wink, nudge, nudge. So you never know. I might direct something eventually. But, but
something
yeah.
would be nice. Yes. That was the operative word. Something.
There might be something in the near future.
Good. I look forward to it. Hint. So, what's our next film? Since we only have 4 today, we have 3 more to go.
Chad hasn't seen Thor.
Chad doesn't see Thor. Chad's here to bug me.
Yeah, I'm like, I'm just like, I like the director in it. Like I said, the director, but he's a comedian. Like,
Chad got invited just because we needed somebody to keep me in line.
Well, I thought you guys needed like a little comedian to spruce it up a little bit, you know, 300 episodes. I'm like, how much is that in Canadian? 3.5 moose knuckles and a hockey championship? Or
your moose pie is in the mail, sir, with my pizza.
Better have extra syrup on it.
Yeah, and the exchange rate, I think it's only episode like 248.
Yeah, probably true. Of season 4.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, unfortunately. Are we going on to Montana's story, or are we going on to the older ones?
Whatever you would like, sir. It's your hosting.
One sec, let me just... I need music as I look up the cast list. But it's pretty much just Haley, Lee Richardson, Owen Teague,
Let me tell you, there's Haley Ree Richardson. It's that kid that's on the farm. It's her mom that shows up for like 30 seconds.
Kimberly Kimber.
And it's her dad, and the guy that takes care of her dad. And that's really about the whole movie.
What movie is this?
A Montana Story.
Oh, Daniel's got a Harry. Sorry, that's what I said. Haley Lee Richardson fetish. Let's leave it at that.
Haley Lee Richardson. Like, it's creepy calling it a fetish.
Like, oh, it's a fetish. How many movies have we watched on this show with her in it?
What's her name again?
Haley Lee Richardson. She was in Split, The Bronze. That's one of her lesser ones, though. Support the Girls.
We've seen them all. Every time it's Daniel Plesk, one of her movies pops up.
She's great, though. Oh, she was in 5 Feet Apart. The romantic lead in 5 Feet Apart.
Oh, she's like Richardson, blonde girl?
Yeah. Yes, that's her. She's not blonde in this movie.
He said, I live in L.A. I see too many blondes. It's like, ugh, come on. I need a little more variety.
Oh, but she has so much variety in her acting, Chad.
I bet she has variety in her acting. Wink, wink, nudge, nudge.
It's diverse. She can play kind of cold, like this character who's like has a lot of walls built up, and then she can do like bubbly and support the girl. She has a lot
would
of.
Would you like to range. Lead this movie?
Oh, you should watch Columbus. That's a really good one as well.
Columbus is solid.
With John Cho.
Yes.
You can lead on this one, Simon.
No, I led the last one. Hayner, Mev.
All right, I'll go. This movie, I will be honest, I was not looking forward to seeing this. It sounded incredibly boring. And to be honest, not much happens in this movie. But I was entertained by it. I will say Owen Teague took this movie on his shoulders and carried it all the way through. I thought his performance was fantastic. Haley Lee Richards, she was okay, but she didn't do much for me. But I will say I did really enjoy Owen Teague. I'm used to seeing him play Stephen King villains.
Yes.
He's the bully in It. He's Harold in the Stand miniseries. Oh. So to see him play genuinely good character here, it was refreshing to see he's not always an asshole. I really liked him in this. Everything else was just kind of by the numbers. You knew when the power went out that the father on life support, they would have to save him. I don't know. The story itself didn't do much for me. It was the lead performance that made the movie worth watching to me. I would give it 3 out of 5 stars. So not great, not awful, but recommended.
I love this movie. For like just the family drama, I think is great. The scenery of Montana, like this is awesome. Like every time I see Montana on film, it is gorgeous, and the cinematography is great. I thought that it was really interesting, just the whole story about the horse, Mr. T, and just kind of mirroring like the relationship between the siblings. But yeah, Owen Teague is awesome. I thought Haley Lee Richardson was awesome too. Like I find like she draws me in emotionally, I guess. Like not fetish wise, Simon, but she is just one of my favorites.
I didn't think she had enough to do. I thought it was more his story than hers.
Yeah, him getting over, like, not being able to help her, I guess. I guess I found, like, she shares a lot of it just with her also needing to get over that trauma. But I think she's just a bit more, like, reserved in a way. But, yeah. No, that's, yeah. But, yeah, I thought the power outage scene was great. And when they actually, like, unpacked all of the trauma, I thought that was awesome. And it's, yeah. I saw this at TIFF last year. So it's just, I've been waiting to watch it again.
Are you kidding me? You were waiting to watch this again?
No, I mean, I was waiting to watch
it. Like, I was painting my house at the same time I was watching this film, and I was more excited about the house paint going on.
Simon, oh, that's just a room.
Simon, you a dick.
The way I tried hard. This movie starts off with that slow pan into Montana. I'm like, oh God, I'm gonna kill Daniel. This is.
I literally paused it
5 minutes in. Click. How long's the running time? Oh, 1:50. Oh no.
1:50.
I tried hard. I couldn't give a crap about one person in this movie. Not one. But I will give Owen Till credit. He did a great job. If anybody was keeping me interested, even a little bit, it was him. Hillary Lou Richardson just looked like she was spewing lines that just need to propel the story forward. I don't think she really put her acting ability into this. I think we see that more with Support the Girls and Columbus. This one, I just like, eh, this is not for me. I don't know who this movie was made for. Obviously, Daniel loved it. So that's fine. We all knew that dad was kicking the bucket. I was just waiting for him to go.
But it was interesting because they're already talking about him in the past tense throughout the film.
Yes, so, absolutely.
Yeah, so I thought that was a really interesting element. And like
the guy I did and, like was his caretaker, yeah, a supporting actor.
Ace
was right. Excellent. I thought when he showed up, his scenes were a little more lively for me. And he seemed to add that sense of passion and of compassion I was looking for with the film. Because I never got that from Teal, and I never got that from Richardson. I felt they were too far removed from this. But I really felt he added what I wanted from those two in the film.
Yeah.
But I felt even Teal should have given me a bit more.
Teague.
Whatever.
Yeah, but he's more like, of him. He's like Switzerland, right? So he's the indifferent party, so that's
I understand
the interesting
that.
POV into it.
I did like the last 30 minutes. I thought I got a little bit more back on track for what I was looking for in the film. I think it started solving some issues. It's not the runtime kind of killed this. I mean, the horse scene was kind of good. If we chop 20 minutes out of this, make it a solid hour and a half, I think I might have liked it.
But then it was Haley Lou.
Perfect. Not needed. Needed more of Ace, less of her, more of Mr. T. And more of that, why that car scene that went on way too long, them buying a car, I thought the guy was going to take him out. I was hoping for that. Like, oh, this is going to be a wrong turn, part 7, let's go.
No, Montana edition.
Oh, hold on, let me go get the battery. I'll come right back, can't have the battery in there. Because the car won't start without a battery. I'm like, nobody's going to kill him. Nobody's coming out of that house to slash him, nothing. Great. Thank you, Daniel. This was a really enjoyable Friday night for me.
You're a dick, Simon.
So, Montana Story, I'm glad you got something out of it. Was not for me. Never will be for me. And Haley Lou is a better actor than that chick I can't stand, Joey King, in The Princess. Haley Lou would have done a better job.
Yes.
Because after watch, did you guys see The Princess?
Not yet.
No. I'll wait till we put it on the list because I have lots to say about The Princess because we know Chad loved it because he watched it day one.
I wish. It's down my queue.
Oh, it's on Chad. We'll have Chad back for The Princess if he's not working. Moving along. Because Kevin didn't see Montana Story.
Nope. I have no idea what it even is.
Oh, it's great. You should watch it, Kevin.
Sure.
I don't even know what the next one is, Simon.
Yes, you do.
I get
two options.
I'll have to look through the texts.
What do you want, Doug?
Major minor?
Sure.
Yeah, we could do that
one. Is that what it's called?
The major and the minor.
I presume you got the email, Doug, that you didn't send me. Okay, good.
Yes.
You know what's funny? I found a copy somewhere else today. I did find one. Kiss me off. I did find it, though.
Okay, so starring Ginger Rogers, Ray Milland, Rita Johnson, Robert Benchley.
Sorry.
Edward Fielding. Not sure if anyone else of a note here. And directed by Billy Wilder.
That's why we're watching it. Now, I just want everybody at home to know Chad's of American descent and drinking Canada Dry. Yeah. I really can't believe Trump didn't ban that.
Canada Dry over Schweppes.
I mean, my argument is it only took 20 years for Ben and J-Lo to get married, so it's probably going to take 20 years to get Trump into some trouble that he's going to not be able to get out of.
Very much.
Did I say that in the podcast? I think I'm allowed to. Okay, the major and the minor says, I know Kevin did not see it. It's probably just me and Doug that sat through because we're the biggest probably. Billy Wilder fans here. This is what I expected from a Billy Wilder film. Really good dialogue. Fast moving, funny premise, totally unbelievable, but works. It's a screwball comedy. And it works because Ginger Rogers, man, she does so much heavy lifting in this film. It isn't funny. I was shocked how good she was. Because isn't she a singing dance person? I think I had the right person, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that's not her here. She's a straight comedian. And I was shocked. That scene with her at the beginning. Okay. Not the very beginning we get first introduced her. I thought that scene was kind of lame with the egg on the head.
Mm-hmm.
Didn't really work for me. But that's fine. But when they get to the train station, I find the comedy picks up. When she's trying to figures out that she's got to become a little girl and she doesn't have the extra $5 to get on the train. The envelope was great. I thought that whole scene was great. And then she gets the balloon on the train and starts rubbing it the whole time. And the guy gets pissed off and blows it up. I thought that was hysterical. I thought that worked. I thought the train scene outside worked. When she first meets the major, I thought that was a little rough.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think I don't know, because the screwball, I guess, the times, they can't really push a little bit more of that. Because, I mean, if you're not buying she's a 12-year-old girl, you're out of luck. Like, you really got to kind of buy her that mentality. But I find that little part there didn't work, and I find it picks up again when the major's fiancé shows up. I find the film starts to ramp at that point. Especially when they meet her sister.
Yes.
And I think that whole part works for me.
Yeah, this didn't really feel like a Billy Wilder movie to me. It felt more like George Cukor, Philadelphia Story.
Yes.
With the sister and stuff. I had a problem getting over the whole premise of the movie.
That's what I was my issue. How do people not see her as who she is?
About at least 30-year-old woman pretending to be 12. I couldn't get past that part of it.
I had the same problem at times.
But there were some scenes that were magical to me. The one that comes to mind is the switchboard scene.
I was so brilliant. Yes, brilliant was the switchboard scene.
I thought that was brilliant slapstick comedy, screwball comedy, just everything, just the acting, everything in it. I was actually a little disappointed by Ray Milland in this. I had seen Ray.
He's the major, right?
Yeah,
he's bland.
He was amazing in another Billy Wilder movie, Lost Weekend. He actually won the Oscar for that movie. He was fantastic in it. So I was like, oh, Ray Milland, Billy Wilder, together again, this will be great. That was just kind of a letdown for me. But like you said, Ginger Rogers was amazing. But I did have issues with the premise of the film.
I know, but that switchboard scene, especially the end when the kid gets busted when he comes down with the radio,
yes,
was dying. And I love the dance scene. I thought was really good when they have the scorecards.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody's trying to get scorecards. And I thought whoever played the actor at the beginning of the film, the comedian or whatever he was. I wasn't sure what he was. The guy gave them a scalp when he comes back. You knew that was the MacGuffin, and it worked perfectly. He was so good trying to figure it out. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? Then he goes, oh, I got it. I'm like, oh, my God, this is brilliant. Really good script writing. I thought the end was a little weak, but I think we knew that was coming. I think that had to be the end. I kind of wasn't sure how they were going to do it, but it worked for me.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And I kind of like, okay, I'm going to let this go a bit because I know it's a screwball comedy. I mean, I've already had to buy the fact she's 12 and she looks 30. So, okay. Overall, way better than the second film.
Yes, yes, definitely. I still wouldn't rank it as high up as, like, Some Like It Hot.
Or
any of the classic Billy
But to
Wilders.
Me, it was well edited. That's a big thing that Mike Snyder's taught me over our years of doing 20 Minutes with Chad, that editing is so important in films. Much more than people see. Like, I hate to go back to Outer Banks. That first episode, I'd like to see the Meisenheimer cut. Because it is so poorly edited. It drives me nuts. And then to the point my kids got mad at me. I'm like, that's a bad edit. That's a bad edit. I was counting the number of bad edits in the first episode. This one, I like the edits. They're very clean. They make sense. They flow into the next scene. And I think that's a genre that's getting lost more and more nowadays when they're trying to rush product out, that editors are probably too busy to really edit. Back here, we had a studio system that, okay, we got 8 weeks on the film, get it done, canned, cut, thing. But the editor's already waiting for the film here. They're not looking for a new editor.
Yeah.
I find now they have so much projects, people, that they're just looking for anybody to edit anything. So once they got one, they're just chopping, okay, you need this tomorrow. Okay, I got to get it done. And they're just editing it out. So Netflix has all their 10 episodes in one shot. Chad, tell me how this works.
I don't know, it's just true because a lot of editors, like, nowadays, because, like, just one thing about my pet peeve about Hollywood nowadays and being in the business is that editing is storytelling in a way where they don't focus on storytelling no more. It's just like, it's all cookie cutter by the numbers. There's a thing like, oh, yeah, 3 seconds for the scene. 3 seconds, 3 seconds, 3 seconds, 3 seconds, 3 seconds. They have this whole, like, pattern now to how they edit movies nowadays, where it's just like, if you go, you could see any studio film, you go to all the Marvel movies, you could do it, like, you could look at a scene, you count in your head, like, on the shot, like, okay, they're shot on that 1, 2, 3, cut, 1, 2, 3, cut, 1, 2, 3, cut. You notice that a lot nowadays, and that's why I like a lot of, like, where I was lucky about, like, Billy Wilder films and stuff, because I'm more of a Frank Capra kind of guy, where it's just like, I watched a lot of the older movies growing up because my grandfather, he would come home, and that's what he used to watch AMC when AMC played, you know, real movies, and then Turner Classics and everything like that. So I kind of grew up watching those. I never watched TV as a kid, so I grew up watching those kind of films, and Billy Wilder's like one of the, like I like some of his stuff too, but like I said, Frank Capra and all these different things where it's just like, it's a whole different thing where a lot of people, they don't, now kids nowadays, they don't watch these films. Like, I actually know someone, one of my actual editors that I usually, well, when I need someone like cookie cutter kind of cut, because usually I already know how to edit, I already have the movie edited in my head when I shoot my movies. So it's just like, I do a couple of scenes here and there in covers, so I'm like, making it look like an editor's actually doing something. Like, so I just give them the stuff, like, oh, hey, there's a couple added scenes. Okay, cool. But basically, it's just like, it's just ridiculous. Like, he won't even watch anything made before 1980.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Hey, you just brought up Capra, and Wilder does this later in Ermelo 2. I find he's very long panning shots. And Capra does that a lot. Like, these shots, Capra could last 5 minutes. Of just one straight shot. There's no edit. And he's just so beautiful at setting that scene. And I find Irvin LaDuce, you see it from Billy Wilder, who's doing those shots across the water. Doug knows the scenes I'm talking about, you know, below the bridge. Beautiful! I don't know, if there's editing in there, then they've impressed me, because it's just flawless shots. And they must have been just doing those over, practicing them. They're beautiful. You don't see that nowadays. Quentin does try. But Quentin needs to edit his stuff now a bit more. I find that his editor died, and I don't find that I like his edits as much.
Mm-hmm.
We need Meisenheimer on those.
I feel like the digital age has also ruined, like, the art of it, right? Because, I mean, they'd be, like, manually cutting, and it's like, okay, every decision matters, and nowadays you could be a little more lenient?
I don't know. Yes and no. Like, I was lucky because, like I said, I graduated high school when I was 15. So I was just there where I was lucky enough where I went to film school where they made us edit on film. But I was right at the beginning of the digital stuff where, like Apple, like, was coming out and, like, media composer type thing. Like, old editing systems. Like, they're outdated. It's just, like, basically, it's, once again, a lot of people don't get, yes, it's great where digital, you could, like, you have a lot of footage and coverage. You're taking a lot of advantage of it because film, you have to know what you want. Like, okay, because you got this much short ends. Like, okay, because after a while, film just runs out. Video camera and digital doesn't, but still people got lazy where it's just like they don't want to find the story. It goes back to storytelling where a lot of people, like directors, they don't know how to tell stories nowadays. That's why I don't go to movies, which is kind of weird because I'm 37 years old and I work in show business. I can't go to like movies no more because like what like Simon and stuff said, when you go and see the movies, or I can't enjoy it as an audience member anymore. Where you sit there and you can see mistake after mistake after mistake. That's why I would always like going back to like watching old school movies like the 40s and the 30s and stuff. I still enjoy watching those because I still learn things like, oh, I know how they did this and that. But like a lot of movies, no one knows how to tell stories no more. Everyone's like, oh, I could do this cool camera shot. I'm going to do this cool jump cut editing idea. I'm going to do a quick 180 back and close up. And you're sitting there like, yeah, but once again, you're forgetting the story. Once again, like for like this movie they're talking about here, like I remember I haven't seen it for such a long time, but I remember seeing it and enjoying it. But like once again, I'm more Capra. I'm like I also like how like was it I love John Ford movies and stuff like that too, where just like I grew up watching those kind of movies. Like I was 6 or 7 when I saw Alfred Hitchcock's Psycho and I knew right away I'm like I want to make movies. Like this is what I want to make. So I was just like, even that at a young age in my brain, I was just like, I knew it was fake. I was like, oh, it's still fake, but story. I'm like, I want to make this. And that's what I kind of miss about older movies now. It's just like, you don't see that nowadays, where you see like Thor, where it's just like 4 hours of comedy, and you're just like, okay, where's the story? Where are you going with this?
They've admitted there's no story.
Yeah, no, exactly. And that's the thing. That's because of the director, too, where it's just like, like, I love the director's work. Like, he's a comedian. He started out as a comedian, and comedians have a good eye and pacing for comedy, and that's a skill set. I don't see, like, I could also see comedians directing great drama, but comic book movies, that's a whole different kind of can of worms. I'm like, that's what you run into, where just, like, they don't have the, lack of a better word, nerd dialect kind of way of, like, besides like Patton Oswalt or something, but it's just like, but they don't have that nerd sensibility. I know it sounds bad when I'm like saying nerd, when I'm not, I mean, I use that as like a good term, but everyone's here like, fucking Chad, went stab him in LA.
Chad, you're a dick.
You're right. Pretty much.
Okay, one more to go, Daniel. What's it called?
I have a good segue. Since you were talking about editing, one of the directors of this movie was, until his death, married to one of the greatest editors in film.
Eric Pressburger?
Married to Thelma Schoolmaker.
Ooh. I did not know that.
Didn't you?
I knew who you were talking about. Yeah. Well, it's got to be Pressburger. I know it's not Powell.
Wasn't she a costume designer?
Mm-mm. No, Thelma Schoolmaker. Mm-hmm. She like edited all of Scorsese's films. Won multiple Oscars.
Okay, I recognize the name as an Oscar.
And yes. I presume not still alive, or maybe she is.
No, she's alive. I think
she is.
I thought she was in a memoriam like 2 years ago.
Okay, now I have to look it up because I brought her up.
Daniel, hit it.
Yeah, our aircraft is missing. I didn't really look up the cast. So the cast is also missing.
Hold on, Peter Ustinov is in this film. Don't forget Peter Ustinov. He's in it.
Godfrey Turrell, Eric Portman, Hugh Williams, Bernard Miles, Hugh Borden. Who did you say, Simon?
Peter Ustinov is in it.
Yeah, there he is.
That's the only person I kind of recognize. And I only knew who he was because I read the credits and he told me his character name. I'm like, oh, okay, I'll look for him. I guess I'll start.
Okay. This is interesting. Oh, sorry, I was just going to say. Thelma is alive. Okay. She was married to Powell, who passed away in 1990.
There you go. So I was wrong. Wasn't Pressburger. Okay. Me and Doug like to go through these old movies. This is kind of me and Doug's thing, to pull out old movies that we haven't seen from directors I love. And I'm a big Pressburger Powell fanatic. I've almost seen every one of their films, and this is just one I hadn't seen. I asked people for things, and nobody wanted to put it on. So I said, okay, we're picked doing the Wilder's first film and this first film. This wasn't bad. I was shocked how much I kind of liked this at times. There are a couple of really funny scenes. Now, I'll give you guys a thing. They lose a member of the plane. So the plane goes down in the Netherlands. They lose a guy. So then they got to figure out what to do, and they're kind of just going through the motions. Not really that interesting. The dialogue's more fun than the actual storyline. So they sit there at one point. They go to a football game. They're like, hey, let's go to the football game. I'm like, aren't you guys supposed to be hiding out from the Germans? But, okay, go to the football game. And they're sitting there. They're like, hey, there's Bob. There's Bob. The missing guy from the plane is playing soccer for the Netherlands. It broke me up. They're supposed to be hiding, but they find him. This film's just kind of random. It's literally that I'm going from place to place trying to get back home. And that's really it. It's a lot of more bonding time than anything else. There's really nothing exciting till maybe the last 15 minutes. I find the film really picks up a lot. It looks like it was shot on the most shoestring budget of 1938 they could have. Those guys flying those planes, I'm like, really, guys? Okay. It looks like they're all shot on some green screen of that time. Like, I don't know if they ever had a set. It looks like they're shot in, like, people's houses, maybe the editor's house. I wouldn't say this is a good film, but I don't think it's a bad film, if that makes sense. I think it's a bit of a mess. I mean, maybe it's the Tubi. I saw it on Tubi. The sound was terrible. Absolutely awful. So maybe this is the only copy in existence, or this just, I couldn't understand half of what they were saying most of the time. And then at times it was perfectly clear. But I did like the look of the film. I found my majority part with the look. I thought it was well shot. I thought the acting was okay. Not great, but just okay. And I liked the end. I thought the end was a really good shot at the end. When things got picked up and they were trying to escape with the Germans, hunting them down to the thing. I thought that part was good. But overall, it was just, it was okay, not great.
Yeah, it felt just kind of like a lads on a mission type movie. It, the one scene that really made me laugh was when all the little Dutch children find them in a tree and you just see all the soldiers just hanging out in a tree. That made me laugh. But yeah, like,
shh. We're not here. You don't see us.
But like, I was expecting more visually. I haven't seen many of the Archer's films, but I have seen Black Narcissus, and that is one of the most gorgeous films I have ever seen. So I was kind of expecting more visually from this movie. Oh. But I guess this is one of their earlier films.
This is their first film.
Okay, that makes
sense.
That's
why I put it on the list. So, because we're at episode 300, I thought we should use the movie first, because Kevin didn't offer anything up, and Daniel gave me Montana Story, so.
Yay!
And I just want to say, since Meisenheimer's on here, I'm sure he's seen the Red Shoes.
The Red Shoes?
You've never seen the Red Shoes?
I probably have.
Take this as a strong, best recommendation I can give you. Watch the Red Shoes.
I have the Criterion 4K Blu-ray. I just haven't put it on yet.
In my top 100 list of all times, the Red Shoes is on it.
Okay.
In top 15. So that tells you much. I adore the Red Shoes.
I'm pretty sure, because like I said, I used to watch a lot of the older films, like a lot of them.
No, you will know the Red Shoes. Because my favorite line in the film is something like, she has to dance. Because she's wearing the red shoes. And it's just an amazing film. Absolutely one of the best shot films I've ever seen. I absolutely love it.
Better than House of Wax?
No. House of Wax is permanently at the number one position. It can't come off. Paris is in it. You know, the hottie and the naughty. Paris is in it.
It's like Joel Dinsmore.
Are we moving on to our trivia section? We're going to play a little bit of trivia because I love trivia. We never have time for it. And I don't care how long we run tonight. So tonight we're playing Act 1.
300.
Okay. We'll probably do about 5 or 6, depending on my mood.
Are we deciding the order for decades, or are we just doing random trivia?
We're doing that next. Just relax. You'll find out when we get there. Scene 1. Grant is like me. He's a digger. Nope, nobody.
Jurassic Park. See?
Correct. That's 1 point. There you go. Okay. But Doc, she was 15 years old. Going on 30. She told me she was 18. She was very willing. You know what I mean. I practically had to take my sewing my pants shut. But between you and me, she may have been 15. But no man alive can resist that. Scene 2.
Oh, wait. Is that a election?
No. Nope. Scene 2. This will give it away for Chad. Ever play this game, Chief? Come on, I'll show you. Old Indian game. It's called Put the Ball in the Hole. Now hold it right there. Now take your shot. Never move, understand? Right there. Now take the ball. Take the ball!
Headshot.
No.
Fast times?
Chasing Amy.
No. Old. No. 60s. Maybe 70s. I think 60s.
Stripes?
No, Stripes is 80s.
Stripes is 80s.
Yeah. Hey, that's why I got to go to jail in the first place. Now they're going to say I'm crazy because I don't sit there like a goddamn vegetable.
One flew over the cuckoo's nest?
Correct.
Hey.
I don't have a chat voice, sorry. Okay. All right, let's do it. Insert launch key on my mark. Rotate launch key to set 3, 2, 1, mark. Enable missiles.
Crimson Tide?
Screw. You guys are so close.
That's
Kevin should know this. He watches the team. Screw the procedures. I want some of the goddamn phone now before I kill 20 million people.
Under siege too?
This is a tape I got from the library about this guy named Falcon. He was into games as well as computers.
Oh, sneakers.
War games.
Kevin got it. I knew he would if I was thinking. All right. See, Chad, we do play him. Oh, my God. There's no way I could do this one. This is one of my favorite actors, so this is the guy that'll give it away. This isn't Alaska. You don't spend an extra $2 million for machinery you might once use in 10 years. You buy it for the average snowfall. That's when an emergency hits, you work around the clock. This one's really tough, I will say that. I've seen the movie. Joe, I need you right away. I got 14 on the ground and 18 stacked upstairs. Tell Marie I'm sorry to louse up her evening, but I need 2 niner badly. I need someone who knows a genius like Patron. I'm sure you guys will not get this one. Toronto Center, this is Global 2. Seems to have a problem here. Request clearance back to Lincoln at the lower altitude. Possible emergency. Might have a disturbed passenger. 70s. There were 5 of them.
Airport?
Yes.
Airport 75?
Yeah, that's what this is. Okay, 2 more, because these are a lot. Oh, my God. This one. Oh, Kevin will get this one. Maybe Chad could get this. Men took dominion over man. Conquered were made to serve the conqueror. The weak were made to serve the strong, and freedom was gone from the world.
Blade Runner.
What we have buried in the Nile shall remain buried in your heart. I can't do that voice. Among these slaves, there's a prophecy of deliverer who will lead them out of my body. Yeah, yeah. It's called the Ten Commandments.
Ten Commandments. Yeah.
Same movie. Okay, Doug, if you don't get this, I'm kicking you off this show.
Okay, fair.
Big pressure.
Today, everything is different. There's no action. I have to wait around like everyone else. I'm an average nobody. I got to live the rest of my life like a Chinook.
On the waterfront? No.
What Holly and the organization does is offer this promotion for people. That's correct. I told you. We got to get one from Meisenheimer. Oh, Kevin would get that one. Okay, we'll try something that's comedy for Meisenheimer.
Oh, my brain's just mushed, too. I got to remember.
That's not a knife! That's a knife!
Crocodile Dundee.
Oh, come on, Meisenheimer.
That was for Chad, Kevin. All right.
Last one. God, it's one of my favorite movies of all time, so we'll do this one next. I will not have an officer from my battalion working as a coolie.
Robin Hood.
In the name of His Imperial Majesty, I welcome you.
Baseball?
I'm the commanding officer of this camp, which is Camp 16, along the Great Railroad, which will soon connect Bangkok with Rangoon.
Bridge over the River Kwai?
Correct. I love this movie. Okay. Now we're done. See, we did trivia. Yay. I buy all these stupid trivia games we play, so we have to play them. For a dollar. Every time I go to a garage sale, I find new games.
And the okay, one guys. Gonna shut out.
I tried for him. So, I read this. So, this came from Brian Scuttle, who I guess I found it on Twitter. And people had a decade list of you have to pick a film from every decade you haven't seen. Now, Meisenheimer already did his on 20 Minutes with Chad, so you can find that at 20 Minutes with Chad if you're interested. But Meisenheimer here is to mock the crap out of me for the films I haven't seen. Kevin, I don't even know if he did this. I did send out the email. I'm not sure if Kevin
wait,
did
what
it.
Was
but
the,
he might.
What was the list?
1930, 1940s, 1950s.
Wait, what was the premise? I thought we were picking our favorites from the decades.
No, a movie you haven't seen.
Oh, I did mine entirely wrong then.
Oh, do you want to wait a few minutes? I could play a couple more games.
Nah, it's going to take way too long to do that. I'll just pull up my watch list then.
Okay. You mean the... Okay, fine. So we'll start off with... We'll go Doug. Kevin, did you do a list?
No.
So Doug, Daniel, me. Does that work? And Meisenheimer for commentary and Kevin.
Or maybe...
And then Kevin...
Maybe me, you, and then Daniel to give him a little extra time to...
Sure, we can do that. And Meisenheimer's just going to look pretty and eat these Spanish chips he buys. Where are your queso chips tonight?
Dude, no appetite, man. You know, these meds are, like, messing me up.
Oh, no.
I feel good. My back was bugging me this morning. Gone away. I'm hopefully going to have the first good night's sleep I've had in a week.
Yeah, no, I've been, like, might return like, to the dizzy pills right now because, like I said, like, my infections are gone, but I'm still waiting for my eardrums to heal.
So, yeah,
like,
Chad like, busted like, two eardrums, if anybody wants to know.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I had two infections in the next following day at oops. First, and I had to go into ER and all that fun, and I've been recovering the last 11 days. So, like, my equilibrium's off. I get really dizzy, really bad vertigo.
We've been texting each other.
Yeah, yeah, I can hear you just fine. I have these headphones, like... That's not the hearing part's not that. It's just
okay.
The equilibrium's like, see me like lean this way.
It's so weird. Chad will send me a text. I busted my eardrums. My back is still. I busted my back. Oh, sorry to hear that. Yeah, you too. Next day, how you feeling? These meds are killing me. My back is still killing me. I haven't slept all night. We're like two old men sitting
nothing
on a
does.
Bench.
It's like it was so bad because the antibiotics they gave me like messed me up too. So it's like I had like no control of my bowels or anything for like 3 days.
Oh,
so like the doctors made me. The doctors made me wear Depends for 3 days, man. It's
no. Which you can currently buy at www.chadmeisenheimer.com for
$5. We should make 20 minutes for. Chad Depends, man. I already have an that's idea for a commercial do. For it.
But you don't okay. do commercials, Chad.
No, he doesn't, though, but we do, so we'll do it. Okay, Doug.
All right. Are we going 30s and then
yeah,
or am I just going
I
through my whole list?
No, no. One at a time.
Okay.
Chad needs to comment if he has a comment
all
or
right.
Kevin.
This one I actually mentioned the last time we recorded as a movie I have not seen. 1939's Gone with the Wind.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, your wife's favorite movie.
Yeah.
Kevin has not seen it either.
I've seen it.
Oh, wow. Kevin has seen it. A few years ago, Kevin had not seen it.
It's a big hole in my viewing.
I might have to hide from Chad. Public Enemy with James Cagney from 1931.
Wow, that's like one of my favorite movies. Jimmy Cagney, man. I love
his
stuff.
I love Jimmy Cagney. I've just never seen this one for some strange reason.
You're more a Yankee Doodle Dandy.
I've seen Yankee Doodle Dandy. I've just never seen...
But that's your top five?
No, it's not.
Isn't that the one with Top of the World? No, that's White Heat.
That's White Heat. I have seen White Heat.
Okay.
Come on, Top of the World, Mom! Which is one of my favorite scenes in movies of all times. Because that's the way I want to go out. It's exactly like that. Daniel, did you have time to get
So am I? Am I picking the biggest blind spot, or just any one from the decade?
Biggest blind spot. Or any from the decade at this point for you.
We already mentioned Gone with the Wind.
But you can pick it too.
I haven't seen much from the 30s. I'd really like to watch The Most Dangerous Game, because I love Battle
Which
Royale.
I have seen.
One sec. Top Hat, because I love that song from The Green
I've
Mile.
I've seen Top Hat. You know what I bought? I bought a VHS copy of Dangerous Game in New York City, the first time I ever went at one of those head shops, for $2.99. And that's where I first saw The Most Dangerous Game.
And then I know The Adventures of Robin Hood is one of your favorites, Simon.
I've seen it probably 100 times.
And could I? I'll just quickly mention for the list that I did, I was going to pick The Wizard of Oz as my favorite of the 30s.
Which is a great film. Chad loves Wizard of Oz. Chad actually usually dresses up as Dorothy every Halloween and wanders around the Hollywood
Boulevard.
Slippers,
man, you know, go down West Hollywood. That's how I make my money.
Can you send me a picture, Chad?
it's coming.
Be on my Tinder profile.
It's weird. He has a basket. It doesn't have Toto. He just has queso chips in it.
No. I like it. What's the order again?
I'm up with the 40s. This one is more out of curiosity. I want to see what beat Citizen Kane at the Oscars. So it's How Green Was My Valley. I have not seen that.
Which I keep meaning to watch, but I didn't put that as my blind spot because I wanted Doug's jaw to drop when I picked my film.
Okay.
I've never seen George Cukor's Gaslight.
Wow, okay.
Okay.
Which I know Doug would drop as soon as I put that in. I could just see Doug going, what? I know. I've always wanted to know where this is where the term Gaslight comes from. This is where the actual term of the movie comes from. And I'm like, I hate to put this on my list, but Doug's going to mock me to no end.
Well, to be fair, I saw it for the first time just a few years ago when it came out on Blu-ray.
But I know you're going to bring it up next episode, so I'm watching it this week, so I do not have to hear about it.
Okay.
So I have not seen The Red Shoes, which White Heat. Oh. Which I would really like to watch. And
White Heat's excellent.
Treasure of Sierra Madre is on.
Oh, that's a great movie.
And I love heist films.
Yeah. Skip Red Shoes. As much as I love Red Shoes, Treasure is the movie you need to watch.
Yeah that's one of the greatest movies.
Here you are. I'm giving one of my favorite movies of all time up to watch Treasure over it.
Apparently,
I kind of let you in. The Treasure's on my list, too.
Okay. For the list that I did, apparently I've only seen 11 from the 40s, and I just picked Rope. Hitchcock's Rope is my favorite.
I do not like Rope. It's probably I find a weak Hitchcock film.
Rope is okay. It's not...
I wanted to give a shout out for it.
Okay.
Casablanca is probably my favorite, but, like, obscure one. Rope. I like Rope.
All right, the 50s. You're going to see a theme with my list. It's a lot of Oscar-nominated or Oscar-winning movies. All About Eve from 1950. I haven't seen that, but it's one I'm dying to watch. I have the Blu-ray. I just haven't put it on yet.
Like tomorrow.
Okay. Well, tomorrow's Better Call Saul Day, so.
I saw All About Eve, I watched it twice. Cause it was so good. I had to watch it again right afterwards. Cause it was on something. I think it was on like a Friday and Saturday night, so I watched it back to back.
Okay. I mean, I've heard it's fantastic. That's why it's number one on my list. I have to watch it.
Okay. I apologize for our listeners. Is anybody else getting weird feedback, or is it just me? Oh, never mind. I know why. My mic got pushed. Got it. 1950s, I had a lot of problems finding something I thought was important enough to see. So I switched ideas and went with my favorite actor of this time period, is Cary Grant. And I could have told you I thought I'd seen every Cary Grant movie pretty close. But I found one I hadn't seen from 1950. So I went with Crisis with Cary Grant and Jose Ferrer, which I've never seen. I never even heard of it. I'm like, I think I thought I saw every Cary Grant film that I could find. So I picked Crisis because Cary Grant's in it. And if I haven't seen it, that's a problem for me.
Fair.
I haven't seen All About Eve.
God. Go watch it after the show. You're not working tomorrow.
Oh, apparently, unfortunately, I am. 6 days in a row.
And you have to.
I'm tired. Unfortunately, I have not seen Singing in the Rain. I have, and then
Singing, Dancing in the Rain.
And then my three ones that I have on my list are Sunset Boulevard, Strangers on a Train,
film. Great film,
On the Waterfront. I'm sorry.
Those are three fantastic absolutely films.
A perfect 10. Strangers with a... I could have been a star. I could have been a contender. It's got to be one of my favorite movie scenes of all times.
I've seen 13 from the 50s, and I put Rafifi as my favorite because that was just...
Rafifi's amazing. So, Chad, you know that scene with Brando and he's good that? I could have that, and I also, as a kid, I still remember seeing Raiders of the Lost Ark in theater. Throw me the whip, I throw you the idol. Throw me the whip, I throw the... I love that scene. It's still one of my favorite scenes of all time. Skinny Alpha Merlina chatting with Indy. I love that. And I still love me sitting there looking at the idol, trying to decide what to do. That opening scene of Indiana Jones to me is just phenomenal. And I mean, We Need a Bigger Boat from Jaws is a great scene. So that's why I always remember On the Waterfront, because it just blew me away. And I've met even Marie Saint, and she was quite nice. Okay.
60s?
It's done again, isn't it?
Yes. For the 60s, the one I haven't seen that I really want to is 1966's A Man for All Seasons.
Oh, wow. I wish I knew you. I would have sent you my disc.
That's another one I have a copy of. I just haven't put it in yet. I just have so many, you know, there's only so many hours in the day, but I love old Orson Welles. I think even if he's just acting, I think Orson Welles is captivating, and I really want to see
it's Kevin Smith's favorite movie of all times.
Oh, really?
It is. He talks about it. So, 60s, again, I had a similar problem that I've seen almost everything that I thought was worthy of seeing. But I did some research, and I picked An Autumn Afternoon, because I love Ozu. Ozu, to me, is probably the best filmmaker I've ever seen that paints a picture using no sound. Literally just has two people having a casual conversation, walking down the street, and he sits there behind them and just pans it. And he tells you everything you need to know about the city. The climate, the people, what they're doing, what they're going to do in a simple shot by saying nothing of importance. So Ozu's, I think it's his last film, An Autumn Afternoon. And again, I can't recommend anybody who has not seen an Ozu film, see him. It's just, there's nothing you'll ever see like Ozu. I don't know how to describe a man that could put, you know, when a picture paints 1,000 words, I think Ozu takes that to heart. He frames shots perfectly. There's never a bad shot in an Ozu film. And there never any action. They're just all basic, talking, just doing general things. But the pictures are just breathtaking always with Ozu. Even when a person's just walking down the street, Ozu seems to just capture it. I guess Godard does too. I would argue Godard does the same thing, which Chad doesn't like, but... it's a little bit different, but I do find he and Ozu are very similar that way. They can paint a scene for me beautifully. I love Godard. Sorry, Chad.
It's all right. Like, I remember my film school days.
For the 60s, I picked Peeping Tom has been on my watch list for a while.
Nice.
First slasher.
So good.
And then, or the first slasher in the Killers point of POV. Which I know because of Scream 4. And then, okay, you guys are probably going to scream at me for this one. Doctor Strangelove.
I hate that movie, so I don't care if you ever watch it.
Yeah, I'm not a big Stanley Kubrick fan.
And then
I slowly, Mike, okay,
I disagree with both you guys. I love Dr. Strangelove. That is,
what is Kevin?
One of my all-time favorites.
Kevin's too.
Then I pick Psycho for my favorite of the 60s.
Nice.
Yeah, I love Psycho.
And that started the slashers.
Yeah.
I've seen Peeping Tom. You know why I saw Peeping Tom? Scream. That whole conversation in Scream where they have on horror movies. Is Scream 4?
Yeah. Well, I think he says it's Kirby.
That made me watch Peeping Tom. Was that whole conversation Scream made me watch Peeping Tom?
Scream.
I don't remember what Scream it was. So, Doug, that's how I saw Peeping Tom.
I'll
was because
that.
Of Scream.
Okay. I
know
saw
that's
it.
A weird segue, but that's really why I watched it.
That is how you segue.
Well, the 70s
Scream
for
4.
Me. The 70s for me, I went with 1974's Lenny by Bob Fosse.
Ooh, nice.
It's one of only two Fosse films I haven't seen. I haven't seen Sweet Charity or Lenny, but Lenny is the one I really want to see.
I hate to say this. I don't know how many Fosse films. Go ahead, Chad. Sorry.
No, like that's like probably one of his best films because like Hoffman was hella good in it.
Okay, I love All That Jazz. I think All That Jazz is just an amazing film.
I can't say how many Fosse films I have. Maybe two or three at most, I'm guessing. It's probably a big blind spot for me, but I guess for some other people. But I have a bigger blind spot than that. Can you cover your ears, please, Doug? Because I don't want something come flying at me through here. And Chad, you too. Jordowski's El Topo.
What?
I've never seen.
It's such a weird movie, but it's definitely
been
it's
on my list for
nuts.
Years.
But make sure you watch the one with the subtitles because the dub.
Oh, I will watch it with subtitles.
The dub like is so bad, and it's because
I don't like dubs. Me and Doug have this thing about dubs.
They screw up his movies so bad, anyways. Like even with what was it Holy Mountain and like his Holy Mountain movie, they messed like the dubs were just like I just can't stand dubs.
I thought Doug was gonna kill me for saying El Topo. I mean, he'd be like, what? I'm like. Just for years, I wouldn't watch subtitle movies.
It's definitely an acquired taste. Like, when people say they don't see that, like, his kind of movies, I kind of, like, understand because you have to really go out and
I
look for
I love 70s
stuff.
Movies. I've seen
yeah, but
anything
it's, like,
big
his
in the 70s.
Movies, though,
I've
his
seen
movies
it.
Are weird. Like, have you ever seen, like, Pasolini films? Like, you have to really, look for Pasolini. He does some weird stuff. Wait on the 120 Days of Sodomy, like Salo. Don't see that one quite yet. See his other films.
Well,
but,
let me get through El Topo because I figured Doug's going to put on some list now.
Yeah, you want to check that one out. That's a good.
Doug's next list is going to have Gaslight on it.
I haven't watched that for so long. I want to watch that myself.
Well, my first Jodorowsky film was Santa Sangre. That movie was just bizarre.
I loved it. Like I would have loved to see his version of Dune. I really wanted to see his version of Dune.
I would have too. Daniel,
can I give that Scream 4 a whole quote?
Yeah.
So Ghostface says, "Name the movie that started the slasher craze: Halloween, Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Last House on the Left, or Psycho?" And then Kirby says, "Psycho." And then he says, "None of the above. Peeping Tom, 1960, directed by Michael Powell." First movie to ever put the audience in the killer's POV.
Mm-hmm. Which made me want to watch it. That's why I watched that film, is because of Scream. And because of that, it led me to Black Narcissist, Colonel Blimp. It put me down a rabbit hole.
I
love that
feel
film
like
so
Peeping
much.
Tom also kind of inspired Dario Argento because a lot of Dario Argento stuff is all POV, too.
Yeah.
So you could tell that definitely was influenced to him, too.
So I'm going to say my favorite of the 70s before you guys kick me off for the one I haven't seen. So my favorite of the 70s is Jaws. And, you know, I might have seen it when I was a kid, but I was – there's no excuse for not having seen Rocky. But I haven't seen
– Come on.
I haven't seen
Rocky?
Yeah.
Oh my God, what a great film. Shocking how good that film is.
I guess the Sly that I grew up with was like, I don't really want to watch him.
Listen, after seeing Cobra, I understood why you didn't want to see Rocky. Like, I totally get it.
I love Cobra. I don't care what you say, I love Cobra.
But yeah, no.
Non-stop killing. The whole movie. Just continuous gun clips.
But it also has lines like, he's the disease, and I'm the Cuba.
Now I want to see that one over Rocky.
And I'll blow up this store, man, I swear. That's right, I don't shop here. Cobra's amazing. Cobra is amazing. I love Cobra.
If you do a shot-for-shot like remake of Cobra and your son directs it, can you just send that to me? Because I'd rather watch that version where you're impersonating him.
No, I want the movie where Chad's supposed to remake that horror movie. You know the one you want to remake, the Night Prowler, the Prowler.
Oh, the Prowler.
There's a guy that has a scene, okay? So the guy figures out, I need the sheriff. So he picks up the phone and calls the hotel where the sheriff is staying. Mm-hmm. The night guy, right? And he goes, let me go check. He opens the door beside him, closes it. Nope, not there, man. Click, hangs up the phone. I told Chad, that's me. I want to be that guy. That's the only movie line I want to do. It's the fat guy that sits on the chair, opens the door beside him, closes it, goes, not here, man. Good night. I love that scene.
Like, that's like one of my dream projects. I would love to remake that, but I have a feeling like Blumhouse is going to remake that. I have a gut feeling. He's like
hopefully not.
He's remaking everything. It's just like...
They're all bad so far.
I mean, some of them are pretty good.
No, they're not.
My 80s, I will start by saying Raging Bull is my second favorite movie of all time. So I want to see what beat it at the Oscars, and Ordinary People is my choice for the 80s.
Oh, you missed it.
I have seen that one.
Yeah, because I put it on the show years ago because I wanted to see it.
I think that was one of the few times
Kevin thanked me for putting a movie on the list. He's like, wow, that was really good.
And Redford directed that, right? Redford.
Yes. I had problems in the 80s because, I mean, you guys know the junk I'm watching in the 80s because I've seen everything. Explorers was my pick, but we watched it a couple episodes ago, so.
You nearly forgot to watch it, Simon.
I did do it. So I did find a film I'm shocked I had not seen. Midnight Madness, 1980, starring Michael J. Fox. I didn't think there was a Michael J. Fox movie I'd never seen. It's called Midnight Madness. I've never heard of it. I've never seen anybody talk about it. Not even Kevin probably has a copy of it. Who knows? But that's my movie, the 1980. Because, I mean, for a guy that's watching Hollywood Hot Tub Part 1 and 2 for his 80s movies, and 80s, like, literally.
I feel like that's a sexploitation flick.
I don't know. I just saw a DVD copy. But I'm literally running out of 80s films to watch.
80s was
because after Mac and Me, I promised myself never to go back to the 80s. What a piece of crap. Was Mac and Me, Mike.
Dude, like, my babysitter, like, my mom used to drop me off when she was going to work back in the day, and it's what, they always play that fucking movie all the time. It was Mac and Me, Willow, there was another one, it wasn't E.T.
I'll take Willow over Mac and Me.
Yeah, it was Mac and Me, Willow's Short Circuit, and,
Take Short Circuit over those, too.
But yeah, Mac and Me was, like,
filmed in Toronto. Short Circuit's filmed in Toronto. That's downtown Toronto.
I remember Fisher Stevens playing an Indian guy. And I'm just like, I always remember that. I'm just like, oof. Even then, I was just like, a white guy playing brownface.
Mac and Me is actually my favorite movie from the 80s.
No way. Not a chance.
So first, I'll go with my favorite. Just the list that I made was Who Framed Roger Rabbit, because that is just, I love that one a lot. And then you guys can just remember, I am going off of my watch list, which is just literally my 365 of my biggest sins. So I'll just say some highlights. I mentioned that I haven't really gotten into a lot of the boxing genre, so I haven't seen Raging Bull. I'm sorry, Doug. Full Metal Jacket.
I like Raging Bull.
That's again, once I'm in Full Metal Jacket's great, but it's like also you got to remember, like, I'm not a big fan of Stanley Kubrick. Like I did like Full Metal Jacket, but
right.
I did too.
Kubrick, he's so pretentious. I was just like, everyone loves that stuff. I agree. Yeah. Like, I sit there, like, that was one of the things with Film Squad. I was like, Kubrick, da-da-da-da, and I was like, nah.
I took one of the best snaps I've ever had when I saw 2001 in theaters during the light show at the end.
I can't remember one of the few films I left. The girl I was dating at the time, we made 5 minutes in, she's like, we're done, and left.
I think two movies I feel like Kubrick, like, had a lot of potential was his first movie, which was The Killing, which was really, really
good. I love The Killing.
Killing's a great film. And I really feel like Eyes Wide Shut, he could have went to darker places, but he didn't finish the film because he died. But it's just like, I feel like that was also a really, really good movie that had a lot of potential. It was Eyes Wide Shut.
And then the other two I had on were, I mean, this one is probably not a huge sin. I just really want to watch it as Das Boot. And then
I've seen Fast Food.
Das Boot.
Das Boot.
Oh, Das Boot's excellent.
And then Heathers for comedy.
Okay. Quick story. I'm dating this girl, and I had to take my brother with me for some reason in the movies. So guess what I had to see over Heathers in the theater? I didn't catch up with Heathers for years. Accidental Tourist. Which is one of the most painful films I've ever seen in my life. My brother got to see Heathers. I got to sit through Accidental Tourist.
Better than Mac and Me?
No, it's not. It did have one funny scene, running gag that wasn't bad, but I still remember my brother telling me how good Heathers was. I'm like, yeah, great. It was her night to pick, and I had to go see Accidental Tourist.
Did she like it?
Oh, she loved it.
Okay.
She's special?
I didn't marry her, so.
But you did marry her?
No.
Oh, okay. I
have no bring up comments about my wife. My wife is a wonderful woman.
And it's still her favorite.
Oh, I have no idea if it's still her favorite.
It's like, I hope she has bad movie taste living in a cave with 5 kids.
She can do whatever she needs to do. 1990s, Doug?
My pick was 1996's Secrets and Lies. Mike Lee is a big...
How have you not seen this? This film was huge!
Well, Mike Lee is a big blind spot for me. I don't think I've seen any Mike Lee films, and I think this is probably his biggest, so...
Well, we'll work on that next year.
On my list.
Like, a lot of people, like, once again... Like, even for, like, film snobs, like, I'm a big film snob. Like, I know who Mike Lee is because I like his experimental stuff. Once again, he's also, you have to really look for his stuff. Like, if you don't, like, I'm a nerd when it comes to that, where it's just like, when someone says they haven't seen something like of his, I'm like, it doesn't shock me. I'm like, that's forgivable.
Yeah, I'm with you, Doug. I've seen few of Mike Lee films, not enough, not as many as I should have. So, again, I have a problem with the 90s. It's pretty much my same problem with the 80s. I've seen everything I could possibly think of. But going through, I found one actor I really love, and I've never seen one of his films. So Johnny Depp in Crybaby was my pick. I have never seen Crybaby. And I'm like, I'm sure I've seen this. I read, I'm like, how the hell did I never see Crybaby?
Isn't that John Waters?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's John Waters.
It's a John Waters film. Remember, Doug, we were talking about
it. One of the first, like, bigger mainstream ones.
Yes.
Like that one.
Me and Doug were talking about this off the air the other week, that I have a little bit of blind spot, and John Waters happens to be one. So, Crybaby was one of these films. I'm like, crap. I guess I forgot it existed. You know, I do try to stick with one person's filmography. Barbara Stanwyck and Cary Grant, I've seen a good 70-80% of their films, so I try to stick. And Billy Wilder, me and Doug are trying to finish to see everything up lately. So, yeah, John Waters, me and Doug have discussed, and I'm sure one of these days when Daniel and Kev are busy, we'll have an all John Waters episode just to finish off our My John Water blind spots. And it has been discussed, guys, because you guys are busy every once in a while. Me and Doug have had this John Waters discussion.
Sorry. So I've seen a lot of the 90s. Probably a lot compared to you guys.
Well, that's what I mean. That's when you started going to films. But I was like 20, right? So I was dating and going out and borrowing my friends' DVDs all the time. Whatever, anything they didn't have, I borrowed and just watched. And I may or not have known how to do certain things to get a lot more movie channels than I had supposed to have. So I kind of watched a lot, which I'm really upset that I didn't watch a lot more when I had access to it.
Right. Yeah, I was born in 94, so I'll just pick one of the 94 films I haven't seen, and I just picked Natural Born Killers.
Which I'm not a big fan. It's okay.
Sorry.
People love that film.
I never saw the other version. People only say it because Tarantino, because, like, he wrote it, Natural Born Killers.
Right.
It's just like, that's the only reason people like Natural Born Killers.
Right. And then for my favorite, that for the list that I did, probably be a very close race between The Green Mile, which I've been saying is my favorite for years, for like 10 years now. So I might find a new one. Terminator 2 and Scream.
Which are fine, no issues.
Pretty close race.
Doug?
The 2000s. My pick is the only Coen Brothers film I have not seen, A Serious Man from 2009.
Oh, my God, I love that film. Absolutely love this film.
It's the only one of theirs I haven't seen, and I absolutely adore all of their movies.
I would have to check. There's probably maybe one or two Coens I haven't seen, but I can't think of anything because I didn't look. Again, I had a lot of problems with the 2000s because now we're getting to the point that I actually watch a film a day. Like, I'm really at that point that I'm watching sometimes two or three a day, depending on what time I got home because I wasn't married. So, I mean, I get home at 1 o'clock, I watch a movie, I go to bed, have a nap, I get up, I watch another movie because I didn't work out a lot back then. I started to, but not a lot. So I really had to look for a film. Like, this wasn't easy for me to pick one, but I did find one that I think I should have seen. Waking Life. Richard Linklater, I think it is. Okay. His first movie, isn't it?
Wait,
Walking
what?
Life?
No, it's
Walking Life from 2000.
It's Waking Life? Waking Life. It's
I've never movie. Seen it. Yeah, I've never seen it. And I've slowly, I got to say, a little bit pulled over to the Linklater fan club. I'm finding I'm starting to appreciate his films as I've gotten a little bit older and seen a little depth I didn't see originally in his films. So this is my pick, just because I ran out of things I thought I should have seen from this period. And this was one I was like, oh, crap, I've never seen that. I know somebody gave me a DVD years ago, and I never watched it. And I'm talking probably 19 years ago. Hmm. And I might still have the copy they gave me somewhere in my house. Probably knowing me, I do, because I don't throw things out I haven't seen. So that was my pick.
So this is the decade where I started really watching movies. According to my Letterboxd, I've seen 1,000 from the 2000s. Pretty much seen every mediocre comedy, but I have not seen Gladiator.
Kevin,
yes.
Do you have time to drive up to Ottawa and slap him?
I can meet you halfway, Kevin.
Mm-hmm. Kevin, is there a con in Ottawa, like a Fan Expo con?
There was.
Not that we own.
A weekend ago, I think. So you
yes, that's owned by the Montreal people.
So, yes, I have not watched Gladiator. I'm sure there's other stuff. Wow. Though for my list.
Well, don't worry, Gladiator 2 is coming out for you at one point. So you can
fix that lack of Gladiator very easily.
Yeah, it's true. Though, I think I do have it on Blu-ray, just haven't, popped it in.
And I think you'll enjoy it, so I think it's worth it.
Yeah, I think I would. But yeah, my favorite, was pretty bad. I wrote down all the, I was like, oh, all the Harry Potters, Catch Me If You Can, Shaun of the Dead, Hot Fuzz, Kill Bill, but I went with
Catch Me If You Can has an early Amy Adams appearance in one scene.
I went with Over the Rock, though.
Funny, funny film. Oh, my God, I love that film.
I love the soundtrack. It's so good.
Yeah, it's a great soundtrack.
My pick for the 2010s, this movie just always seemed really pretentious to me, which is why I haven't watched it yet. Tree of Life from 2011 by Terrence Malick.
It is pretentious.
It is pretentious.
You could pay me money to watch it, and I would, like,
trust so me. Many. It's weird, because I walk around a lot, so I listen to a lot of artsy podcasts. I call them the artsy, because they love films I hate. They love Tree of Life. They go back, and I'm just like, guys, please, stop.
Yeah, I saw it in the movie theaters.
I don't want to hear about Tree of Life being the greatest movie ever again. I mean, this is a bunch of film nerds. Don't get me wrong. We're all film nerds, but these guys are like artsy film nerds. They drive me nuts how much I like Tree of Life. And they just, they're like, they'll watch a film. They're like, oh, we're watching. And they go, I can't listen to them sometimes. I'm just like, bleh. Like,
so
guys,
it's not 20
come
minutes
on.
With Chad.
No, that's the greatest show ever is 20 minutes with Chad.
Have you guys
so
ever
we're in 2010s, right?
Yeah.
No, we're pretty close to 20 minutes every time. We try to stick to 20 minutes. It's only 20 minutes. That's all you can take of Chad. So, again, I had the problems with the 2010s that I've had even more. I literally could not find a film till like just before recording. And I'm like, I got to find something. I was reading the release date. So I was supposed to watch this film. And somehow I just, the running time really threw me off is why I didn't watch the film. So American Honey is my choice. Mm-hmm. It's just the runtime is so long. And now looking at my list, I'm like, I'm going to have to watch American Honey this week. Because it's just annoying me that there was a film in the 2010s I felt I should have watched. Like, that's the problem. I'm getting to the point for the last 30 years, I don't feel I've missed anything, unless you include the Wishmaster franchise, because that's really on my list. I've almost done Children of the Corn.
You have very much pride of, like, being like, oh, the year's done. I'm not going back.
Well, that's just me, because I want to get older. Like, I'm right now really in the 80s schlock movies, right? Like, if there's an 80s movie that I haven't heard, I watch it. Just because I'm running out of them. Like, I'm to the point
movie,
now.
From Outer, was it, I Come in Peace or Dark Angel?
Yep, see them
watch
all.
That?
Yeah, so I Come
that's
in Peace on VHS. Dark Angel VHS. Like, literally, I'm at the point now that I've told you, I'm in a VHS cassette group where they sell tapes from the 80s just so I can find films I haven't seen. Like, just films that you're looking at, like, I don't know. And they have a bunch of horror stuff I haven't seen. But Graduation Day, I found out that way, which I loved. Absolutely great film was Graduation Day. No sequel. Just one. I haven't watched April Fool's Day yet. I think that's an 80s one I haven't seen.
I've seen that one.
And I still got to watch Wishmaster still, 1 to 5. Wish. I love when they say 5. I'm in. That means I have 5 good films to watch. Children of the Corn have 7, 8. 8. I have 2 more Children of the Corn left. I can't wait. But they're those hour sci-fi ones that are usually complete crap.
And you still have to watch Holiday Time Machine or Holiday Hot Tub.
No, it's Hollywood Hot Tub 1 and 2. I just found that today. And there's one movie I couldn't find. I still have to look for it. I can't remember what it's called. If I had my phone down here, I'd tell you guys. Couldn't find it. I still got to find a copy of this film to watch. I looked on streaming, Tubi. Nope, no sign of it. So, no. Daniel, your film for 2010?
So, for my list, for my favorite, I put Wolf of Wall Street. I'm a basic bitch. To be honest. Though this is the decade where pretty much starting with the Hunger Games in 2012 is when I started. That's when I really started going back to the theater. And I have seen a fuckload of crap in the theaters because I would see like everything. But one film I will pick is, I haven't seen Moonlight yet, even though it won Best Picture.
Moonlight, I've seen. I liked it a lot. Intern hated it, but I loved it.
Intern. Yeah, but I know there's a lot more of 2010s I haven't watched, but I pretty much, my watch list pretty much stops around 2012, because that's when I was putting this.
If we ever do this again in 6 months, because I'll watch all these films in the next 3 weeks, so I'll have some problems.
I might actually go through this episode and like make like a further reading with like links for like the
cool
films we discussed.
Doug, your last film?
My last film is last year's Best Picture winner, Coda. I have not seen Coda.
What?
It looked just like a after school special film to me.
I haven't seen it either.
Okay.
Yeah, so like,
I had a problem.
Manchester by the Sea. I'm like, come on. It's just like.
I love like, that film.
It's just like, no. Manchester by the Sea was great, but it's just like, everyone's just like, it's all like, Oscar, we're going to pull heartstrings. Oh, we're going to have someone who's deaf. I'm like, okay, it's everything's trending right now. It's just like, next is going to be some, you know, non-binary Armenian something-something.
Eating queso or chips.
Yeah, exactly. And it'd be like, that's going to be the next Oscar-winning movie. It's just like, Jesus. And I'm yeah, no. coming from, this is coming from
Trans Chad goes out for his Halloween walk.
I know. I'm just like waiting to see what, like, that's from someone who's in the business. I sit down and it's like, oh my God. Like right now, oh God, what's the trend right now? It's like a trend right now where I'm just sitting there. I'm just like, I could tell it's going to win. Like, Oscar winning. Oh man, what was it? I saw it because like I see casting notices all the time, and it's always the same story. I'm just like, oh, it's gonna be the next big thing. Like, oh, this actor did this, and this, and I'm just like,
oh. Okay, we're running. We gotta get Doug out of here, Chad. Okay, my 2020 films. The only thing I could find I haven't seen is Raw. That's it. There's nothing else. Like it
Raw,
was so
the
tough for me.
The French film.
That's
2016. Yes, Raw's not 2016. It's 2020.
No.
Raw's, yeah. Raw's like...
Raw's old.
Yeah, it's like 2016, 2017.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Then I have no film for the 2020s. Yeah, I've seen everything.
That's a French film, yeah.
Oh, that's 2016?
Yeah.
Oh, then somebody said it was 2020. That's what I fucking said.
They were wrong.
Can't take him anywhere.
2020, there's not that many movies.
I've seen everything. So, Doug, I have nothing from 2020 I haven't seen. Zero. But you guys know I watch pretty much everything that comes out. So
pretty much anything from 2020 was released streaming.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I probably saw it all. So I don't think there is anything I missed.
I think we had two months of theatrical releases, and then that was it.
Yeah. So I've seen everything. Daniel, your last films?
I still haven't seen The Green Knight, so I'll just go with that.
I do not like that film at all.
I actually liked it.
Yeah.
Of course you did. You've been on this show since episode one.
Yes.
So before we wrap this up, do you have anything to say spending 300 episodes with me? Did you think we would make it by 10?
The lifelong alcoholism from the show.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've had my concerns with depression and anxiety and stress. No, I'm just kidding.
All because of
brought
you,
on,
Simon.
Brought on by Simon.
Because every so often I'll
all
say,
because you're a dick.
Every so often I'm so busy, I've got to step back, and you're like, no, you're not allowed to step back.
That's very true. I've said that.
You're there from the beginning.
He does the same thing for 20 minutes with Chad.
I do.
Yeah.
And he's always like, we're recording.
So how does it feel, Doug, Kevin, from day one to day 300 episodes later?
Well, there's no random tequila visits any longer. So
I know! I missed that! I used to do tequila shots. If we were all together, we'd be doing Patron right now.
Right.
And no more dinners at your house. We used to have, so people know, we used to have dinner and record at the same time when we ate dinner.
Yeah, we had to, instead of doing it all on Zoom or whatever, we would have to meet in person and record around the table.
Yeah, we used to have to record and just, many things happen. Recordings would get screwed up. People were late. I would bring snacks to every recording. I'd always bring snacks so somebody had something to eat. And we've gone through many cast members over the years.
We have. Yeah, not just the intern, but also Big Joe.
Big Joe. My cousin came on a few times.
Plus size panties.
plus size panties and his long gun. Who else do we have? Deborah.
So,
I think that might be it for guests. Oh, Dave was on. Dave from DMV was on a couple times.
My buddy Dave a couple times, just because he happened to be around.
He just happened to be in the room while Kevin's recording. So, Kevin, this is from me. Thank you for being here for 300 episodes.
All right. Well, thanks for forcing me to do 300 episodes.
I don't think we're going to make 400 people, but knowing me, we probably will.
No, why not?
My dog, because we seem to
enjoy it. We're just coasting. We're on a go roll now. Let's see.
So,
the station.
Do I sign off at the Two Geeks M2C, which is what our show was called for about 32 episodes? Mm-hmm. Or do I sign off as Extra Features, Movie Review Podcast, Kevin?
Yeah, dude, Two Geeks M2C is best forgotten.
That was the worst title of our show we ever could think of. Yeah. Because it used to be Two Geeks, me and Kevin. Yeah. We discussed movies and comics.
Movies to comics, yeah.
And then we have a graphic novel segment every week. And then Kevin finally got to the point going, I can't do this anymore. You don't have any graphic novels to read.
Right. Because you weren't really buying comics at that point. So.
No, I wasn't. I still don't really. So we got rid of that. And then one day I said, Kevin, I hate our name. Nobody remembers our name. It's a dumb name. I got a new name, and I spent like a week sending him suggestions, and this is what we picked.
No, Extra Features is a good one. I think
it's good. So. Yeah. It's late. I thank you for staying here for so long, Doug. I know you have to work, but this is a big monumental episode.
Of course.
So we'll let Chad do the sign-off tonight.
We're not doing the buy. Did Dave
buy anything? I don't think so. Chad? I know you listen to Extra Features all the time, so I know you're ready.
I don't.
I know.
I don't.
Kevin, you bought something? Can we talk about what you bought?
All right, just some more DVDs. I've got Brief Encounter.
Which I've never seen.
Or Noel Coward. The definitive Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, yes.
Nice. Which I'm going to start my Laurel and Hardy phase right after I'm done Elvis.
Oliver Reed and Curse of the Werewolf.
Never seen it.
We'll have to review that at some point. And then I didn't even know this existed. This is a Ron Howard film, 8 days a week, touring with the Beatles in the 60s.
Well, I know you're going to put that in your list, so I'll look forward to having you watch that.
It might be more of a documentary type thing.
I have no idea. You're the Beatle fan.
Then I got a whole load of digital codes.
No.
I don't know if you care about it at all.
No, I don't. Not really.
And I added them to the library, including... Where is it now? Blah, blah, blah. Here. Pinocchio, Holiday Inn, Selma, Black Hat, Girl on a Train, Les Mis, Allied, Forrest Gump, Bourne Ultimatum, Bourne Supremacy, the one Jurassic Park film I didn't have, The Lost World, and Home Alone 1 and 2, and Heat.
Is it too late to get a refund for The Girl on the Train?
I didn't pay anything for these.
Oh, you should still get money back.
Forrest Gump is the worst film ever.
Okay.
Made.
I got a bunch of stuff if you want to see, but if not.
We're done. We're wrapping this up because Doug needs to go to bed.
But Doug is the one who suggested it.
If they make it.
Simon's a dick.
Simon doesn't let us leave.
Pretty much. Thanks, Mike Snyder, for listening to the show.
Simon makes us put
good night, all. We're done. Episode 300.
Yeah.
Finished.